Part 2. 12. Pip fidgeted nervously under the table, hoping Kara was too busy talking to notice. It was the first time that Pip had ever had to keep things from her, and the nerves kicked around in her stomach. They'd made it through the third day back at school when teachers stopped talking about what they were going to teach and actually started teaching. Pip and Kara were in the ward's kitchen, pretending to do homework, but really, Kara was unspooling into an existential crisis. And I told him I still have no clue which college I want to go to, and he's all, "Time's ticking, Kara, and it's stressing me out. Have you decided yet?" "Yeah, a few days ago," Pip said. "You are the worst person to vent to about life plans," Kara snorted. "I bet you already know what you want to do when you're a big girl, too. Go on, tell me, where are you applying?"
"Columbia. Going early decision, hopefully."
"Your efficiency offends me." Pip's phone buzzed on the table. "Who's that?" Kara asked.
"It's just Ravi Singh," Pip said, scanning the text. "Seeing if I have any more updates."
"Oh, we're texting each other now, are we?" Kara said playfully. "Should I be saving a date next week for the wedding?" Pip threw a pin at her. How ridiculous. They were just working together, that was all. "Well, do you have any Andy Bell updates?" Kara said.
"No,"
Pip said. "Absolutely nothing new." The lie made the knot in her gut squeeze tighter. Aunt and Connor were still denying they put the note in her sleeping bag when she'd asked at school. They suggested maybe it was Zach or one of the girls. Of course, their denial wasn't solid proof it hadn't been them, but Pip had to consider the other possibility. What if? What if it was actually someone involved in the Andy Bell case trying to scare her into giving up the project? Someone who had a lot to lose if she kept going. She told no one about the note, not the girls, not the boys when they asked what it said, not her parents, not even Ravi. Their concern might stop her project dead in its tracks, and she couldn't risk that. She had to keep this secret close to her chest, and she would learn from the master, Miss Andy Bell. "Where's your dad?" asked Pip.
"Dude, he came in like 15 minutes ago to say he was off tutoring."
"Oh, right," Pip said. Secrets were distracting. Mr. Ward had always tutored 3 times a week. It was part of the ward routine, which Pip knew by heart. Her nerves were making her sloppy. Kara would notice she was hiding something. She knew Pip too well. She had to calm down. She was here for a reason. Being skittish would only get her caught. She could hear the buzz and thud of the television in the other room. Naomi was watching some crime drama that involved a lot of pew-pewing guns. Now was the perfect moment to act.
"Hey, can I borrow your laptop for 2 secs? She asked Kara, relaxing her face so it wouldn't betray her. "Just want to look up this book for English."
"Yep, sure," Kara said, passing it across. "Don't close my tabs."
"Won't," Pip said, turning the laptop so Kara couldn't see the screen. Pip's heartbeat picked up. There was so much blood behind her face, she must be turning red. She leaned down to hide behind the screen and clicked up the control panel. She'd been up until 3 last night, the note haunting her when she closed her eyes. So she did some research, trawling through the internet, looking at badly worded instruction manuals for wireless printers. Anyone could have followed her there into the woods. That was clear. Anyone could have watched her, lured her and her friends out of the canopy so they could leave their message. But there was only one name on her persons of interest list who would have known exactly where Pip and Kara were camping. Naomi.
Pip had been stupid to discount her because of the Naomi she thought she knew. There could well be another Naomi. One who might or might not be lying about leaving Max's for a period of time the night Andy died. One who might or might not have been in love with Sal. One who might or might not have hated Andy enough to kill her. After hours of reading, Pip had learned there was no way to see the previous documents a wireless printer had printed, and no one in their right mind would save a threatening note like that on their computer, so attempting to look through Naomi's documents would be pointless. But there was something else she could do. With the steps memorized from a how-to webpage, Pip opened up the devices and printers setting on Kara's laptop and hovered the mouse over the name of the Ward family printer, Freddie Prince Jr. She right-clicked into Printer Properties and onto the Advanced tab, checked the box next to Keep Printed Documents, clicked Apply, and it was done. She closed down the panel and navigated back to Kara's homework. Thanks, she said, passing the laptop over, certain that her heart was loud enough to hear. No problemo. Kara's laptop would now keep track of everything that came through their printer. If Pip received another printed message, she could find out for sure if it had come from Naomi or not. The kitchen door opened with an explosion from the White House and screaming federal agents. Naomi stood in the doorframe. God, Nai, Kara said. We're working in here. Can you turn it down? Sorry, she whispered, as though it compensated for the loud TV. Just getting a drink. You okay, Pip? Naomi looked at her with a puzzled expression, and Pip realized she had been staring first. Oh, yep. Just made me jump, she said, her smile just a little too wide, carving uncomfortably into her cheeks. Pippa Fitz-Amobi, September 6th, 2019. Capstone Project Log, Entry 13. Transcript of Second Interview with Emma Hutton. Thanks for agreeing to talk again, Emma. This is a really short follow-up, I promise.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Thanks. Okay, so I've been asking around about Andy, and I've heard a rumor I wanted to run by you, that Andy might have been seeing someone at the same time as Sal. An older guy, maybe? Did you ever hear anything like that?
Who told you that?
Sorry, they asked to stay anonymous.
Was it Chloe Birch?
Again, sorry, they asked me not to say.
It had to be her. We were the only ones who knew.
So it's true? Andy was seeing an older man during her relationship with Sal?
Well, yeah, that's what she said. She never told us his name or anything, though.
Did you have any idea how long it had been going on?
Like, not long at all before she went missing. I think she started talking about it in March. That's just a guess.
And you knew nothing about who it was?
No, she liked teasing us that we didn't know.
And did you mention it to the police?
No, because honestly, those are the only details we ever knew. And I thought maybe Andy had made him up for some drama.
But after the whole Sal thing happened, didn't you think it might be relevant? A possible motive?
No, because I wasn't convinced he was real. And Andy wasn't stupid. She wouldn't have told Sal about him.
But what if Sal found out?
I don't think so. Andy was good at keeping secrets.
Okay, final question, I promise. I was wondering if you knew whether Andy ever had a falling out with Naomi Ward.
Naomi Ward? Sal's friend?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge, but she was Sal's friend, not Andy's.
I know, but did Andy ever mention any tension with Naomi or say bad things about her?
No. But now that you mention it, she was definitely hating on one of the Wards. It just wasn't Naomi.
What do you mean?
You know Mr. Ward, the history teacher? I don't know if he's still at Fairview, but yeah, Andy did not like him. I remember her referring to him as an asshole, among other less delicate words.
Why? When was this?
I couldn't say specifically, but I think it was around that spring break. So not long before everything happened.
But Andy wasn't taking history with him?
No. It must have been something like he'd told her that her skirt was too short for school. She always hated that.
Okay. Thanks again for all your help, Emma.
No worries. Bye.
No. Just no. First, Naomi, who I can't even look in the eye anymore, and now Mr. Ward? Why are questions about Andy Bell returning answers about the people close to me? Okay, Andy insulting a teacher to her friends in the lead up to her death could be a coincidence, entirely innocent. But, and it's a big but, Mr. Ward told me he hardly knew Andy or had anything to do with her in the last 2 years of her life. So why did she call him an asshole if they had nothing to do with each other? Was he lying? And if so, why? Even though it physically pains me to think this, could this innocuous clue indicate that Elliot Ward was the secret older man? I mean, I first thought the secret older guy would be in his 20s. But maybe my instincts were wrong. Maybe it refers to someone much older. Andy told her friends she could ruin this man. I thought this meant that the guy, whoever he was married. Mr. Ward wasn't married at the time. His wife had died a couple of years before. But he was a teacher in a position of trust. If there was some inappropriate relationship, Mr. Ward could have faced jail time. That certainly can be classified as ruining someone. Is he the type of person who would do that? No, he isn't. And is he the kind of man a beautiful 17-year-old would lust after? I just don't think so. I should grit my teeth and ask Mr. Ward. That's what I should do. Get some actual answers. Otherwise, I may end up suspecting everybody I know who may have spoken to Andy at some point in their lives. But how do you casually ask a grown man you've known since you were 6 why they lied about a murdered girl? Persons of interest. Jason Bell. In bold. Naomi Ward. Secret older guy. Elliot Ward.